I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain.
It's episode 136 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we welcome back special guest Matt King to discuss Logan. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast@gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or look us up on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe. Or head on over to Facebook, search for the Hodgepodge Podcast, and like our page. And the prodigal son returns! Welcome back, Matt!
Hey! Fellas, good to
see
you.
No son of mine.
You're no son! Matt is back because he finally got to see a movie. And, and that movie was Logan!
Wait, what?
Oh, wait. You went to go see John Wick, too. God damn it.
No. I wish.
Yeah, Logan was released this weekend. It won the box office. They're estimating 85 and change. And that puts it, I think it's the second highest R-rated
film. I don't know.
Behind Deadpool. Yeah. I think it's right. So it's kind of showing that that and Deadpool are showing studios that, hey, maybe you want to make some different superhero movies. They don't all have to.
Yeah, right. No,
they don't have all.
They're not
going to
do that.
They don't all have to be PG-13.
No, they're not going to do that.
Avengers: Infinity War now rated X.
Right.
Yeah. Hot, Bucky on Cap action.
Thanos and Death actually go at it on film.
Avenge my cunt.
Wow. Wow. Apparently this episode's rated R.
Sorry, you can edit that out. Boop.
Going a little blue there, Dirty Hay.
Blue period.
Yeah, not much going on movie-wise. It's really just been all Logan this week. Obviously, we talked about the Oscar catastrophe last week, and that's basically what's dominated the conversation this week, movie news-wise. Reviews are coming out for Kong Skull Island and for Disney's live-action remake of Beauty and the Beast, and the news is not great for both those movies. They're just kind of mixed. Critics are kind of split on those two, so we'll see what happens. Kong comes out this week, and then Beauty and the Beast is next week. I know you don't care about Beauty and the Beast, but I'll probably go see it.
I won't.
Maybe, but I'm not going to make an effort.
Apparently, a theater in Alabama is not showing Beauty and the Beast because Josh Gad's character is gay.
I also saw a meme. It was like, so they have a problem with a gay character, and this movie is literally
about the Beast,
a woman bull relationship.
Bestiality.
we want wholesome Disney movies. P.S. Elsa's probably a lesbian, too.
So stupid where people draw the line.
It's dumb.
And Russia's banning it.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
So that probably means we'll be banning it soon, too.
Gay propaganda.
Right. Yeah. Trump will be torn.
Yeah.
Because Disney is, it's a great earner for the country. Great earner for the country. Fantastic. Terrific. The
movie's going to be huge.
But there's gays in it. And the director's like, it's not even that big a deal. He's not that big a part of the movie. He's just,
right.
It's kind of.
Right. Kind not of. Like, not like there's a sex scene with him. Right. You know, like, having.
Yeah. Hardcore gay sex in the Disney movie.
Cut to hardcore gay sex.
So Beauty and the Beast is the first to go X.
Yeah. Beauty and the Bestiality.
Oh, God. Jesus. Ugh. Oh, God.
Believe in marriage equality, not gay.
What?
From Pop Star.
Oh, right. That's right. That's right. I forgot about that. As did most people.
Yeah, most people did.
Most people forgot that movie was coming out because it did not do well.
Or that it ever came out.
Or that it ever came out.
It was funny.
It was fun. It was really funny. It was really funny. All right, so let's dive into this. Logan is, unless you've been living under a rock and don't know what the hell's going on, this is the Logan will be the last time that Hugh Jackman is playing Wolverine, unless miraculously Marvel gets the rights to put him into the Avengers, which is not going to happen
never.
So yeah, this is the last time he's going to play Wolverine. He's been playing him since 2000's X-Men, so that's 17 years, 18 if you want to count when they filmed X-Men, which is 99. That's a long time. to be playing the same character. I think with the cameos, I mean, Apocalypse, I guess, was technically a cameo, but he was like in a full scene. The only real cameo, I would say, is First Class, because he's like 30 seconds. Right. You blink and he's gone. Yeah. I mean, Apocalypse, they actually built an entire sequence around trying to get him into the movie. So he's been in, including the first class cameo, he's been Wolverine in 9 films, which is something that Robert Downey Jr. will eclipse when he does Infinity War.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, because he was, what is that? The 3 Iron Mans, Iron Man, Avengers.
3 Iron Mans, 2 Avengers.
Hulk. Captain America 3.
Two more.
Spider-Man.
Avengers and Spider-Man. That's 10.
Right, so that's 10. So yeah, with Infinity War 1,
yeah,
he'll eclipse, or he'll tie
and then
Hugh Jackman, then move into the
unless thing. He's killed in Infinity War 1.
Which he will be. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, I already know.
When,
so now that we've talked about Logan's run.
So the when Hugh Jackman wanted to do Logan, he got together with director James Mangold, who directed the last Wolverine movie, The Wolverine, which was 2/3 of a great movie. And but when they went to the studio to pitch it, they said, look, this is what we want to do. And basically we want, like, we're not thinking about rating. We're not thinking about anything else. We just, this is the story we want to tell. And the studio was actually like, go ahead, do it. Great. And so that paved the way for this movie, which is rated R, and it is a hard R. Do not take your kids to go see this movie. It is a hard R. I went to see it a second time on yesterday, and there were an awful lot of kids waiting in that lobby, and I was like, this isn't going to be good for anybody.
No, Mom, it's a comic book movie.
No, it is not. And that's the thing with this. It's kind of like The Dark Knight in that way, where The Dark Knight was more, even though they had the Batman costumes and stuff like that, it was more of like a crime epic with Batman in it, whereas this is like a Western, more of like a modern Western with a guy with claws coming out of his hands, basically. It's not...
Which they really hammer home for you.
Yeah, I mean...
With the Shane metaphors.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
Okay,
we got it. It's a Western.
There are sci-fi elements into it because it is an X-Men film. We'll get to those. The movies, and also it's unclear where this kind of falls in the whole X-Men timeline of movies, but that's been all...
I think it's clear this is
a complete standalone. Because the whole thing has been all screwed up. We were talking about it before, like basically from the get-go, but really with First Class, they really fucked it up when they started saying, when they kind of did it like a halfway, half-hearted reboot and then said, oh, but this is in the 60s.
So, well,
and it's like, and then you look
kind
at you,
of ties right back in. No.
And then you look at James McAvoy in Apocalypse, you're like, oh, he's supposed to be 20 years older and he doesn't look like he's aged a day. No. And it's like, you know, and same with Fassbender. It's like, I thought Wolverine was the only ageless mutant here. Yeah. So I don't know what they're going to do. They're apparently going to make another X-Men called Supernova. That's rumored that it's going to be about Phoenix. But it's like I said to you today, you know, how do you make the Phoenix saga without Wolverine in it? You know, he played a pretty big role in that story. So, you know, to a degree, you know. But, you know, what are you going to do? They're fucking it up. I watched Apocalypse again last night, and that movie is not good.
No.
Simon Kinberg was like, when I was writing for Cyclops, I was picturing like a James Dean character. And I'm like, yeah, way to go to not understand Cyclops at all.
Right.
You fucking idiot. It's like Cyclops is supposed to be like the nerd.
He's like the nerd who steps
into his own when he gets his powers. And he finally learns to control his powers. You fucking shithead. Go write another Fantastic Four movie, you piece of crap. So anyway.
No, we're kidding. Don't do that.
No, please don't.
Don't do that.
Actually, just stop.
Yeah.
Stop what you're doing.
Let those rights expire. So this movie's kind of standalone. And even though Deadpool was tied into the X-Men universe with Colossus was in it, that is also kind of like a standalone movie. I don't know how they're going to try and squeeze that into like what they've done with the X-Men.
Oh, they will now.
I guess.
Yeah, they're eventually going to do an X-Force movie.
Right, but I don't know how that, like, I don't know how that will tie into the X-Men, really, if at all. If there will be any crossover with, like, Cyclops and Jean Grey and shit like that. Because how are you going to do... I mean, I guess they've done it, you know, I just said they've done it with Fassbender and McAvoy, but how are you going to fucking... When Deadpool is clearly set in the present day, or maybe even slightly in the future a little bit, how are you going to have Ty Sheridan playing Cyclops in an X-Force movie where he's, like, younger than everybody, and you're like, oh, and you're the leader of the X-Men? Get the fuck out of here. So it's like, go home, kid. So they... Making those movies period movies, while interesting, was a real mistake if they're trying to match...
For continuity.
For continuity's sake. But they've also said that they're, you know, when in the lead-up to Logan, they were kind of like, well, we're kind of, like, fluid with it and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, I guess you have to be now.
When you don't know what you're doing, yeah, you're fluid with it. That's a good way of saying it, I guess. Yeah. Well, we're fluid with the timeline.
Okay. Well, to be fair, though, I mean... Comic books are fluid with their timelines too. You
know, that's true.
I mean, you can make independent movies like this outside of having worry about continuity concerns. You just have to let your audience know that this is the way you're going with
it. But that becomes a problem, which we'll talk about at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
So Logan is set in the year 2029, and the mutants are basically a dying race.
Trump is in his fourth term.
And Trump's not in this. This isn't The Dark Knight Returns. Or
his Reagan. Wall is, though.
It is. It is. I made mention of that with Doug, too. It's like, there's his wall. It's just a chain link fence.
Yeah.
Where Reagan is the... Dark Knight Returns, where Reagan is the president forever. Wolverine Logan, played by Hugh Jackman, he's a limo driver in the American Southwest. And the reason why he's taken this job is because just over the border, he's hiding an ailing Professor X, played by Patrick Stewart. And
Mr. X.
And Logan has help from Caliban, who is played by Stephen Merchant in this movie. Caliban showed up in Apocalypse, but it was a completely different guy. That's not connected at all. Stephen Merchant is much better in the role.
Yeah, he's good.
And Caliban is, if you've never read the comics, is a mutant who basically can sense other mutants.
He's a tracker.
He can sense other
mutants. He's like human Cerebro. Yes.
Right. And he, in the comic books, he was with the Morlocks who lived underneath New York City. And he was eventually taken in by Apocalypse and then transformed, which is why... In the Apocalypse movie, I didn't understand why he didn't take a Caliban with him and transform him into something better. But that movie's
like
a fucking hot mess.
Metal shirts,
right? Like, better. Yeah. We just make you metal.
Just make you metal.
You know what really made me mad about that movie watching it last night? First of all, I will say this: they shouldn't have cut out the mall scene. The mall scene was funny. That was a cute scene with the character when they went to the mall. But the whole point of Storm. Was that she was different from everybody else because she had the white hair and she had the blue eyes, but yet she was, you know, African. And Apocalypse makes her hair white. And I'm like, that's fucking dumb. I'm like, that was stupid. Oh, now she's powerful because she has white hair. It's like, get the fuck out of here.
He gives everybody a new haircut, and that means they're more powerful.
I feel so bad for Oscar Isaac in that movie. I really do. Yeah, I mean, because he's
such a good actor.
He's doing yeoman work in that thing, and it just the script was just terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Logan Professor X is basically like sliding into like dementia, and he is having episodes where. He, you know, if you've seen the other X-Men movies, he can, like, freeze people. You know, he can, like, freeze time, basically, by just basically shutting down everybody's brains for, like, you know, a few minutes while they...
But he can't control it.
Now he can't control it, and,
Which begs the question, why aren't they after him in this movie? Because they're just like, oh, we don't really care about this guy. Like, well, maybe you should.
He's listed as a weapon of mass destruction.
Listed as a weapon of mass destruction. He's already... They make mention of what happened years ago with him.
It was over a year. No, I forget when it was. They actually didn't say. They didn't say.
Oh yeah, I thought it was like 6 years ago.
But they make mention of it. But then like the guy's essentially like, yeah, we don't care about you. It's like, well, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But I guess I guess to be fair, though, this wasn't the government. This was a company that had very specific research concerns. So I guess that makes sense.
So Logan is just doing his job and trying to pay for Professor X's meds and stuff like that. And he's not in good shape at all either. His healing factor is not working right. It's kind of failing him. Essentially what's happening, you know, what you piece together is that basically his healing factor is not working. So the adamantium inside his body is basically killing him. It's basically poisoning him. He is approached by a woman named Gabriella who is trying to get his help with something. But Wolverine, he's so over that shit. He's like, I got my own problems. I don't have time for this shit. And I don't do that anymore. I'm not that person. Then he comes across a guy named Donald Pierce, who is played by Boyd Holbrook, who is looking for this Gabriella and the little girl who is with her. And Donald Pierce is just like in this movie, he has a metal, a robotic prosthesis. And in the comics, he was actually like a cyborg, and he led a group of cyborgs called the Reavers. And in this, all these guys are paramilitary guys, and they all have robotic prosthesis of some form. That's why that one guy had like a mohawk, because that was like, you know, one of the looks that they had in the Reavers. And they were villains. They were villains of the X-Men, and they have a history with Wolverine.
But here they're basically mercenaries for a company.
Right, they're basically mercenaries for this company, which is run by Richard E. Grant's character, Dr. Rice. And he's basically doing genetic experiments and basically designing mutants.
He's trying to bring back mutants, but controlled mutants.
Right, so he can control them to, you know, use them as weapons and stuff like that. Which brings us to the little girl who's with Gabriella, who is Laura, played by Daphne Keene. And she's been in some other, like, small stuff, but this is, like, her first big movie, I think. And she is basically, if you've read the comics or watched the cartoon stuff, she is X-23. And she is, spoilers on. And we'll put the time code where you can skip to where we say what we thought. She's X-23, and X-23 is basically a clone of Wolverine. So Logan is her genetic father, but she's really more of like a clone.
Logan, you are the father.
Yes. Moy Povich does show up. He goes, Logan, you are the father. He goes,
and then he goes, ah! And he goes berserk.
He goes berserking and guts Moy Povich.
Yeah.
And the crowd applause. And so basically what happens is that Xavier claims he's been talking to this little girl with his telepathy and nobody believes him. And then she turns up, and then and things he says come true. Yeah, he says they're waiting for you at the Statue of Liberty, and you're thinking he's talking about X-Men, but it's a motel where he runs into the woman again. And Logan, Professor X, and Laura get thrown together into like this kind of family unit type thing, because they're trying to get her to North Dakota so she can meet her friends there, if they're still alive, and pass over the border into Canada.
Well, yeah, it's not necessarily to meet her friends.
They were all going there.
Right, but her purpose is that they think that there is a mutant parrot little salvation land there.
Right, right.
She's not like, we're just going to randomly meet at this place. They're all going there because they think that...
Oh, right, right,
they,
right.
They think that this is a place where mutants are gathered.
Right, exactly. So Logan is very reluctant to do it because, again, he's kind of like looking out for themselves and looking out for Professor Xavier. And even Caliban calls him on that because they're talking about getting a boat where they're basically going to go out to sea, because then Logan's like, then the world will be completely safe from him having whatever episodes of that. Because Logan, because of his healing factor, he can handle it better than... and it's just like when he fought Phoenix at the end of X-Men 3.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it's like a family road trip film drama But also, it's a chase film, too, because these guys are hunting them constantly. And they learn about the program that spawned Laura, and there's all these other kids for X-Men fans of the comic books. Richter is in this. He's the kid who...
And Indy?
Yes. He's the kid who controls, who can make Richter the earthquakes. And he flips the truck and stuff like that. Right. He's a character from the comic books. None of the other characters, the kids, were really familiar to me. No. You know, they, it's basically just a road trip movie. And it's got, it's Logan coming to terms with his life and what he's done. And
who he is.
Who he is and who he'll be. You know, and if he can basically accept this girl for what she is, and, you know, and if he's going to basically find purpose again in his life, because he's doing a good job of trying to kill himself, basically.
Well, not the best job.
Well, I mean, he's doing okay.
I mean, he has the method to kill himself the whole time. And...
That's true, but, you know.
Which is his claws.
Yeah, right.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Why do you need this? Why do you need this? Why do you need this bullet when you have claws? That's what you can do it. You can do it yourself. I don't know why you have a bullet. I don't.
They're just trying to legitimize X-Men Origins Wolverine. Right. Just having some actual place in the X-Men universe.
I really love this movie. I thought it was great. I thought it it was a great send off for Hugh Jackman. As the character, and I thought it was really, it really was different for an X-Men movie. It wasn't your typical superhero movie at all, and it was just, it's got great, the action is spaced out, but when the action happens, it's great. The kid, Laura is great. Daphne Keene, she was really good in this movie. And Patrick Stewart was fantastic, I thought.
And her stunt double was excellent.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Patrick Stewart, you mean?
Yes.
Yes, yeah, Patrick, yeah. Stewart's Patrick Stewart. Stunt double when he's on the toilet, yes. And I thought it was it's nothing, it really has nothing to do with Old Man Logan, the comic book, thank God. Because that story is completely overrated, I think. There is one twist that they have for people who are expecting Old Man Logan when it's revealed what happened to the X-Men, basically. Because in the comic book, Wolverine gets tricked by Mysterio, I think it was, and he accidentally kills the X-Men. And
Oopsie.
Because Mysterio made him see the X-Men as like supervillains, and he basically kills all of them. And that is not what happened to the X-Men in this. And so that was good that they kind of turned maybe comic.
Oh, we
fans.
Already said spoilers, so that
right, right.
About
so yeah, so basically. Professor Xavier is the one who killed the X-Men.
Yeah. The incident that's referred to previously is he kills the X-Men in that incident along with injuring 70 or others or so like that.
And so he basically, and they said including 7 of the X, and then Logan shuts off the radio because there's another incident in the film that's a big deal. And if you count up the X-Men, it's, you know, Scott, Jean, Storm, Rogue.
Hank.
I don't know if Hank was there then, because this would be older Beast, but maybe. Kitty Pryde, probably. Iceman. And then pick your pick, Colossus or Beast or whoever, you know.
Deadpool.
Yeah. Deadpool's dead. Yeah, Deadpool's dead. Professor Xavier killed Deadpool. And, I thought it was, the movie was really emotional. It really, you know, digs into the character. It's really a character piece.
Yeah, for sure. It's a character drama with action.
Right. So that makes it complete. There's not a lot of spectacle in it. There is a doppelganger for Wolverine. It's basically the X-24.
It's another clone.
It's another clone of Wolverine, but with no...
No emotion.
No emotion.
It's completely driven by the doctor, the owner.
Right. And I almost... And, like, when I first saw it, I was like, eh, I don't know. But then when I watched it again, like, you watch... They really do set it up very well, and it's like... That's really the only thing it could be, you know.
Of course.
I mean, because I almost felt like, when I first saw it, I felt like it would have been nice if they had gotten Liev Schreiber in there as Sabretooth and maybe, like, lobotomized him somehow or something like that. And then he was just, like, some kind of...
I don't even think they needed him, honestly. X-24, I thought it was...
A little extra.
It was not as bad as the Silver Samurai from Wolverine.
Yeah.
Well, this is also more metaphorical, too. Because he was before.
That was kind of... Ham-fisted. I mean, I thought the movie would have been fine without him in it. Because he's already fighting the Reavers, and they're already proven to be pretty
well. And let's face it, in the end, he's pretty easy to kill. I mean,
yeah,
I guess.
I mean,
again, it's the
here's a gun, here's a bullet, and he's done.
Well, like we were just talking about, it's kind of a ridiculous concept.
Yeah. But it's like, well, if that killed him, you know, Logan should have been dead the first time he got slashed through the chest with the claws. I mean, it's little.
Yeah, I never understood why they used that.
Using that for me, I had issues with them fighting each other. Because, you know, they sliced each other to shit, and it's like, well, why did this kill them, but that didn't? Which, it's adamantium.
Yeah, so I think it adds an unnecessary plot hole, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Good point.
And the movie was doing great without it, I think. And when I saw him come on, I immediately thought of Sabretooth, because he looked like Sabretooth with his mouth
right, yeah.
And everything.
Yeah.
I'm glad it wasn't Sabretooth. But yeah, I felt like him, X-24 and the Doctor both could have gone for me.
I think the Doctor, I mean, the movie's like about 2.25 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Doctor did need a little bit more, fleshing out.
I thought so too. I thought you make him a bigger mastermind villain,
right.
Throughout the whole thing as opposed
right.
to.
I thought he was
shoving him in the end.
The rumor was that he was going to end up being Sinister. Mr. Sinister. Also based on Apocalypse, what happens in the Stinger at
Which,
the end of Apocalypse.
That'd be hard to do, given that, again, any future timelines where you have the actual X-Men with Sinister, right? Because if you just introduced him here...
No, that's true.
You could never use him back again, so it... That
they could have changed. I mean, I understand why they called the company Alkali, because that was where they had the Weapon X program and stuff like that. But I almost feel like they could have called the company Essex Corps, you know, to kind of play off. He didn't necessarily have to be Mr. Sinister,
but it's part of
right.
the same organization,
right?
Yeah.
No, I mean those are fair points. I mean those are fair points you guys have. I just thought that like,
and that didn't really diminish the movie greatly for me. By the way, I'm picking it apart a little bit. But I felt a little bit like more towards Matt's end, where it seemed a little strong to be using that metaphor of him fighting himself, when he was already, he had his hands full
right.
already. And I think that this was, Mangold's one error in screenwriting for this is that, it may have been because he felt, pressured by the studio. You know, you got to give that big villain. We need the big villain. We need something big here, right? Other than his send off being he's just fighting some cyborg soldiers, right? We need something bigger.
It still works.
It's just, it was unnecessary.
I mean, they really could. I mean, you know, I can see your point there, because the Reavers, if they had gone the route that happened in the comic books when they fuck up Wolverine, because what happens is in the comics is that the Reavers ambush Wolverine, all the X-Men are gone, and then they ambush Wolverine, and they essentially crucify him on a, not a cross, but on an X. They make an X, they crucify him. And that's what fucks up his healing factor going forward until magically he's cured, because he finds a bed for like
because,
6 months.
Because it's comics.
Because it's comic books, yeah. Right. But like for a long stretch, he was really fucked up. because of what happened, because of all the trauma that happened there.
I love the idea here. It made perfect sense. I love the idea here that what they did to him is ultimately his demise here.
Right.
Because it makes perfect sense. It's
right.
It's kind
yeah.
of very poetic.
Yeah.
In how it plays out.
Right. And that's what happened. Like, anytime in the comics when he starts losing his healing factor, that's what happens. The metal starts poisoning him immediately. Like, there was one comic where they went to some place where some mutant took away his powers, and then, like, he, you know, pops his claws, and then he retracts him, and then his hand just keeps on bleeding, And then Rogue's like, oh, fuck. That's gonna be a problem. But yeah.
Is Rogue in the X-Men?
What?
Yeah. She's been in these movies, what, once?
Yeah. No, she was in,
I don't mean literally. I mean, as like a character.
Rogue the character, as opposed
She was the biggest part, obviously, was in X-Men 1.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And then she played a role in X-Men 2.
She just kept fading further.
Oh, for sure. Because it's like we talked about before we came over here, that, you know, it's because Rogue shouldn't have been the primary focus in X-Men 1. It should have been Kitty Pryde. They should have used Kitty Pryde, because then in X-Men 3, they said, oh, yeah, Kitty Pryde, and then they brought her in, and then she became the big deal.
How dare them try to push my Rogue into the corner.
They could have had Rogue, because he and I were talking about this. They could have had Rogue. They should have made her – they should have just kept – once again, the comic books is – if you stick close to the comic books, it works, because there's a reason why these characters are popular for so fucking long. She was originally part of the Brotherhood of Mutants, so she could have worked for Magneto. And then she comes over to the X-Men side, and then you go from there. That's how you get Rogue in the fucking movie. And then Kitty Pryde should have been the one that they were looking for in the first X-Men, because that's really who Rogue technically is in that movie. She's Kitty Pryde.
Sure. The problem with that is that when Singer did the original X-Men movie, comic movies weren't as big.
So
he needed the main characters of X-Men, right?
The main characters from the 90s cartoon.
Correct. That's what I mean. Yeah. That's what I mean. Because when I say the average viewer
right.
know who the fuck Kitty Pryde
that's
is.
That's why Colossus isn't in the fucking team. Exactly. And that's why Nightcrawler is only in that one movie.
Exactly.
Because they weren't really in the cartoon.
Yeah.
But thank God they kept that asshole Gambit out of it. Until X-Men Origins.
It's coming. It's still
coming. Sure.
It's still coming.
I hear a train a coming.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, Those you know, quibbles aside, I thought the movie worked fantastically. I thought it was really, really good. Because it's really more about, like we said, it's more about the character drama and, you know, him coming to terms with his fucking life.
It's his relationship with himself and with Charles.
Yeah, as a father.
Chuck.
As a father figure. And then his relationship with the girl. Because, you know, is he gonna, you know, because it's in the trailer where he says, you know, I'm not what you think I am. And then, you know, that obviously by the end of the movie changes, because it has to. Because if you're going to have them. Yeah, fuck those kids. I'm leaving. Bye, everybody. And then Wolverine goes to live in Vegas.
Fade to black.
It's like, that was a terrible character arc. He left those kids to die. He's a horribly selfish man.
Yeah, no cathartic moment whatsoever at all.
He fucked those kids over so bad. Oh, God, they're dead.
Oh, they'll be okay.
It'll be okay. That kid can breathe ice, and the other kid has got
and then the
electric wind when he touches the electric stuff.
You know, it's fine.
And then the grass power was good too. They fucked that guy up at the end. Yeah. He was like,
with your powers combined.
And they were like, I mean, I was very much reminded of Stranger Things with those kids, and you know, and the whole thing with like when they were trying, you know, to create Eleven basically, and all this stuff. Which is interesting, because I would guess that all those kids are technically X-23, because that was the program, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they did, because they had X-23-.
Right.
If you looked at the folder file.
Oh, okay,
They did have, like, X-23-22. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that it wasn't always Wolverine's gene, clearly.
No.
Used all different kinds.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They were all X-23-dash something.
Because, that, like I said, when I watched Apocalypse again last night, they open the briefcase and like they put Weapon X in there, and then there's all these other
dialogue that refers to him as this X-23 or that
right yeah,
so, yeah,
whereas the doppelganger is X-24, he is the right thing. And it, you know, and it's like I said, I mean, it's kind of a little hokey or schlocky a little bit, but it borders on that. But
I mean, when you think about it, that Wolverine is the best of all of them, they would want to clone him.
Oh, you would say that.
And make it, well, he is. He's the best. He's the best there is at what he does.
Fanboy number one over
and
here.
And what he does isn't very nice. Dirty A was very, very upset that he didn't say Bub in this movie.
I was pissed. I was pissed. They even gave him it was almost like a fuck you because they give him the perfect time to say it to the kid and he says, "Hey, pal."
Yeah.
You're like, "What the fuck are you talking about?" Wolverine does not say pal. Goddamn man says bub. What is this bullshit? Yeah, I was very pissed at that. That's like, I mean, if you're giving Wolverine a send off,
right.
Give him a fucking send off. Let him have his iconic word back.
They got Chuck in there, but they didn't get.
They did get him grabbing a cigar. Yeah. Never seen smoking.
But he didn't
it.
Smoke it or put it in his mouth.
Yeah. I
mean, as the guys from Red Letter Media said, that's too hard R. If he's smoking, that's too
hard
R.
Yeah, I guess. I kind of took that two ways. Right, of course he likes his cigars, but also took it as like a you have the. It's a girl type of cigar.
Right.
I got a kid now. Grab me a little celebratory cigar.
And a USB charger.
Yeah, and a USB charger.
And she can smoke too.
Right. Not okay.
Yeah. He's saying that to her a lot.
Yeah.
She's very socially awkward, we'll say.
Well, right. I mean, they grew up completely isolated in a lab. And I guess we didn't exactly get into that, but they were manufactured solely as weapons. They were trained as weapons.
But the kids still had their own will.
Yeah,
and one of them, at least one of them, killed
so
himself.
So it mentions like, what do you do with these weapons that don't want to fight?
Yeah, and so then they're trying to quote retire them.
How do we reach these keys?
And so then that's why they made X-24 is because they basically made him with like no. Right. Brain, basically.
He's the T-1000.
Exactly. Kind of like my main problem with it is that it is a machine at this point. It's just like, okay, well,
But that also goes towards, that's also kind of a nod to the comic books as well, because there was like a Wolverine Android, they called him Albert or whatever, and it is kind of a nod, like I said,
it didn't really take me out of the movie or anything. I was just like, when I think about it after the fact, I'm like,
believe me,
no, he's got like, he literally black shirt, white shirt,
black tank top.
It's like, all right, we got it.
Believe me, if they had done some of the stuff from Old Man Logan, you would have been rolling your eyes even more, like with the hillbilly hulks and all that.
I mean,
kind of
I would have, the only thing so that would have made me roll my eyes would have been like, have I seen like. Brush blow by like a tumbleweed. okay, we got Western, got it.
Or she said, Logan, come back.
But no, we're picking fun. But it was a fantastic movie. It was really good. It was this was the movie that you get the feeling that this was the movie Hugh Jackman always signed on to play.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is violent. It is hyper-violent, and it's like...
It should be.
It's brutal. I mean, it is Wolverine in all his glory, basically, and I think this is the movie he wanted to make with the last one, but the studio stepped in and said, no, you gotta have a big, giant fucking robot in it. And that movie was... I mean, because I was watching some of the Wolverine this weekend, too, and that movie was also fucked from the jump, too, because they just changed the story so much. I mean, you want to have your Jean Grey thing where he's like, fantasizing about her because he wants to die or whatever, but he's at the same time he's falling in love with this girl. That's fine if that's how you want to do the Mariko thing. But having the old man and wants his powers. And I did like when they subdued his powers with how they did it. I thought that was cool. But then when like he's going to suck the powers out of it, I was like, this is fucking... Once it gets to that last 15 minutes. It turns.
Well, he built the samurai robot to have drills that went directly into the knuckles.
It's terrible. It was so bad. And you're just like, what are you doing?
It completely deflated that entire movie.
It just killed
it. And that's hardly ever has the end of a movie destroyed an entire movie like
that. And that's the sad part about that movie is because, like I said, when we reviewed it, when it came out, we talked about it in the past, is that, that is the best comic book story for Wolverine. The whole Japan storyline is the best. And they just fucking destroyed it. And all it really is Wolverine trying to come to terms with, am I an animal or am I a man? And also,
he's a manimal.
He's, and also, I mean, the only people he's fighting are these fucking mobsters, basically. Right. You know, the Yakuza. That was the movie, and that was the story. And
What it should have been.
That's the way it should have been. And it was so, the story is so great, and it's just, you know, they just ruined it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know.
If they had had Silver Samurai in it as the actual Silver Samurai, who's a guy in the fucking thing, that would have been fine. But when you make it fucking
robot, it should have been her dad. Her dad was a perfect Silver Samurai.
Yeah.
Well, the Silver Samurai was technically the boyfriend, that character Harada.
The dad would have been the perfect
villain. Right. Could have absolutely done that.
Yeah. No, he would. Yeah, that would have been fine.
The armor. I mean,
yeah, that would have been fine. Yeah.
And you know, we're talking a lot about rightfully so.
The grandfather or the dad?
The dad.
Oh, the dad. Yeah.
Okay. Hugh Jackman's last role here as Wolverine. Let's not forget Patrick Stewart,
who
did an amazing job in his final role as Professor X.
Yeah, he was great in this. He really gets to show off some different colors in this because it's rated R. And I was saying to Matt before we came over that you might think, because Patrick Stewart does swear in this. He swears a bunch at Logan, and it works. Because at first it's a little jarring because he's Mr. Stately, you know, Professor Xavier. But it works. But
he's not at any single time in this movie
that's true. That guy. It's because of the dementia. But also, if you kind of lay it against, you know, James McAvoy's version, who is very kind of salty, you know, in the it works.
It's still you still know this was his personality that was somewhere in there.
Right.
But you know, he just does a really good job here of bringing this this character another dimension. Mm-hmm. It just adds another depth to Professor X. That's hard to play that. Mm-hmm. Hard to play that correctly, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
In a realistic fashion. You know, a man with dementia.
Yeah. And the other thing is, too, is that something that's kind of escaped from the movies is that in the comic books, Professor X is really like a real asshole. I mean, like, he's not like this cuddly, you know, grandfatherly man. Like, he's a fucking jerk off. And
shades of James McAvoy's.
Right. Because he always does a lot of stuff that they're like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, it's for the good of the race and all this stuff. Right. Like, he'll do that.
The idea is that he's got a shade of, what's his name in The Watchmen? The genius, you know, he's got this shade of
Ozymandias.
Ozymandias, you know, I know a little bit more than you. I can see a little further.
Right.
So you're not always going to understand what I'm doing,
right,
nor do I have time to explain it to you all the time.
Right, right. Or Dr. Manhattan. Were you thinking Dr. Manhattan?
You're right. Dr. Manhattan works too, but I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Right.
There were some things I loved about this movie, and it basically boils down to Professor X and, most of all, X-23. She was my favorite part of the movie. I didn't love it as much as you guys did. For one thing, I think it's way too long.
It is a little long.
I think they could have cut out the Las Vegas part, and I think they could have cut out the whole Dr. X-24 thing.
It's not always about length. It's about girth as well.
This is true.
Oh my God.
I don't feel like this swept as wide as it could have. No. And so, for one thing, it felt really long. And another thing, the dude playing... what's his face with the hand?
The main Reaver guy.
Yeah, I didn't like him on Narcos, and I didn't really like him here either.
Oh, really?
I didn't know where he's from. Narcos.
Yeah, he's the main on Narcos. Okay.
I liked him. I liked him in this.
Yeah, in this one, I didn't like him. I thought he was kind of a weak villain.
I just felt like as a, I guess I had trouble because I know that they're cyborgs, but as such, he seemed to have a little bit too much personality as a cyborg.
That's the thing. I don't know if they were going full on cyborg in this.
I think it was just
prosthetics more than just go full on cyborgs.
Yeah.
Okay.
But in the comic book, I mean, he was a cyborg in the comic book, but he was very, I mean, he wasn't like robotic in his personality. He was.
So you basically hated all the villains in this. I mean, to some degree.
Well, I like the idea. I like the Reavers themselves as being the villains. I think they should have been the only ones, really. But him, like that actor, I just don't.
Just not
a fan.
I thought he did an alright job. I liked him because I also liked because he wasn't. he didn't overplay it, and he was he played it because like he knew like I got a job to do. Like when she starts like coming at them, he's just like no, wait. Like yeah. He knew like he had to like take her and get her out. And, you know.
I really like that scene and yeah. how he led the troops.
Yeah,
but at the same time, it's like why is he the only one that has any idea of who this is and how to handle it?
Because I don't know if those guys were, I mean, he was in the facility with them. I don't know if the other guys were. So
he didn't
much.
Brief them on who they
were. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Oh, well, you're not going to tell them, okay, this is how we need to approach this, you know?
Yeah.
Don't get close.
Yeah.
It would be my number one rule for her. No, I loved it when she came out, like, after they sent in the three goons together. And yeah. She came out with his head, like, you know, and then she just started walking towards him. I thought that was great. But, yeah, I still think it's the best Wolverine movie.
Yeah.
Like that far and away, the best Wolverine movie.
Yeah, I mean...
Again, that's a low bar.
I was about to say, you're not really setting the high.
So I almost don't even want to compare it to the rest of the Wolverines. I mean, I could compare it to the rest of the X-Men movies.
All right.
And I'd say it's up there. It's not X2 level, but I think it's close. It's getting up there. It's around X1 for me. Better than Days of Future Past, I thought, or definitely better than First Class.
Apocalypse?
Slightly better than Apocalypse. Just edged it out at the very end.
Yeah.
Well, everyone knows that the third one's always the worst.
Right.
Including this movie we're in right now. Oh, fuck. Okay. Oh, that joke backfired on me.
Yeah. But it was touching for somebody who has watched all these movies for so long.
Yeah.
To see it, and like the character itself, it reminds you of your mortality. You're like, for 17 years... we've been watching this character and now he's, you know, this is the end.
Worthy send off. Yeah.
And it was a good send off.
But you're also right on that point. When you talk about mortality, and I don't know that this registered with everyone consciously when they see it, but you know, this iconic character, not only character, but even within the realms of the movie, he's iconic.
Right, yeah.
You see kids with, they got
the
toy of him and everything.
Yeah,
and
because
it's... in the end, he's got a small grave buried on a hill with a wood marker. And that's it. There's no big statue. There's no nothing.
Right.
No.
And that's the thing. It's like, it seems that like in this world that at some point the X-Men became like the Avengers of this universe because they made comic books like that of them and, you know, figures.
Oh,
and stuff
for
like that.
Sure. Yeah.
I thought that was going to be a little too meta, but it turned out to be.
It worked
because it reminded me of Avengers when the kids have the toys of the Avengers. You know, that's what it kind of reminded me of.
Logan did a good job of explaining it in one little scene where he's just like, you know, this is just.
There's some
hyper exaggerated from an event that actually happened.
Yeah, right. See, these guys just wrote it. They were there. Yeah.
Right.
I wish I did on IO9, they showed, I guess, the book that they didn't show, the interiors they didn't show. And I was hoping they said like Chris Claremont wrote it, but he didn't. It was somebody else.
I thought of Sam Jackson's little speech in Unbreakable when he's just like, you know, comic books are nothing more than history that's been jazzed up and spit out in commercial machine and made titillating for the viewers.
You know, one thing, the ending kind of soured me a little bit with the kids because I was just sitting there watching them and like when the Reavers were chasing them through the woods, I'm like, you all have powers and you're just running.
Right.
And they wait until they're caught to actually do anything with their powers. And then they like, he just touches a guy and electrocutes, and I'm like, dude, turn around.
Some of their powers, I think, were, it didn't seem like they worked, like the kid that had the ice powers, it didn't seem it worked like Iceman. Like they had to be close to use it.
I'm talking about, like, the dude that basically is a telekinetic. He could have just stopped everybody.
It's true. I say two things to that, and you're on point, but two things to that. A, the kids. Kids' natural reaction is for flight as opposed to fight. And two, it's already been mentioned in the movie that they don't want to fight.
That's true.
They don't want to fight.
They probably also don't want to die.
True, I agree. Like I said, I don't disagree.
Yeah, the only one who could survive any of that shit is Laura, so, you know.
Yeah, and she's the only one that turns to fight.
But she was running too.
Yeah, she was. But then she stops and like faces.
Well, yeah, she was. She was more. You know, Logan was telling her to run, so she ran.
I also could have done without the green juice thing.
Yeah, that was,
because it was like it turned out to be nothing. It was like he got enough juice to run to the fight, and then it
yeah, well, yeah, they made it sound like don't take it all. Well,
they made the
don't
big deal.
Take it all. Like, what's gonna happen? Is he about to like Hulk out or something?
Yeah,
because
they're saying like it messes with your mind.
And then you're right. They say it brings on a dementia type of state, and then all of a sudden it's gone as soon as he gets to the fight.
He gets funny.
But my other problem with that was just, okay, so now you're just throwing in a panacea, for just because you feel like you need to. Like, oh shit, how do we explain this away? Panacea. This fixes everything. It's cure all.
Green juice.
Cure all. Right.
But for like 3 seconds. So if you take it like a little bit at a time, right?
Yeah.
Then you're good for days. But if you take it all at once, you got about 15 minutes of sprinting power.
Yeah. It wouldn't have bothered me so much had they not built it up so much. Like something was going to happen nothing happened.
Yeah. If it was like, I just need a jolt to get me out there, and he takes a little, you know, hit of it or something like that, then that's totally fine. But there was like a note, like, don't use it all.
Yeah. Well, you know, and they told him. And then even when they get there, she's like, oh, no, you took it all.
Oh, God.
And then,
because when he looked at her, I was like, oh, shit, is he going to attack her?
Yeah, is he going to attack her? Right. Nope. Yeah.
His fatherly instincts took over.
It was a silly plot point to add in there for no good reason.
Yeah, it was not as bad as the ending to Wolverine, of course. But Mangold, like, yeah, just tying it all together at the end.
And if you think about it, if you use that element, actually, you could have had the same idea of the metaphorical fight with himself. Without X-24, where you know, all of a sudden he's trying to find himself from killing kids or anybody in his wake.
It would be kind of cool if he was trying to teach Laura not to be this mindless killing machine, but then he had to like revert to that at the very end to save her. And one good thing out of this movie is we're hopefully going to get some more X-23 in the future, but I don't know how.
Well, see, that's what I was talking about.
Where is it going to fit in? Because the timeline, she's what, she's 8 here?
11.
Is she 11? Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah, because I think she said she was 132 months or something.
All right, whatever. It's 2029, so that means you cannot have her.
And the other X-Men movies are now in the 80s.
Right, so you can't, there's no catching up. There's no catching up to that timeline.
The only thing they could do is have what? Cable.
Come that's what I was just saying. I was literally thinking that. They have the time traveler come maybe. In and grab her.
He's like, dude!
And then he like, I mean, puts her in the 80s. Of course, you could also, it'd be really hard given that it's 30 years, but you can also manufacture another X-23.
They'll figure
you know
out
what I mean?
Stupid.
Like she's just a clone, so it shouldn't have to be the first version of that clone necessarily.
True. I mean, that would be kind of disappointing if they went with another actress to play her, to make her, to age her up, I guess, because she's young. I mean, she's like 11, 12, you know, so.
And Mangold says he wants to make an X-23 movie. I'm trying to, like, picture how that even works.
Well, you know, if he does it like this one, where it's standalone, sure. Sure.
But I think he probably wants to do. I don't
probably.
Think,
he seems.
He doesn't seem to care much about time.
No. And you know, he's clearly got an eye for this kind of movie. So yeah, if it's standalone, that's fine. It's perfectly fine. But they really need to think about it as opposed to just throwing it out there. If they at any point want to try to use that in the other movies, I don't think they will. Honestly, I don't think that they have any inclination to use X-23 in X-Men team movies.
I don't know, because I said to Matt that if fans want to see the Wolverine costume, she's probably the best bet, because as of right now in the comics, she is Wolverine in the comic books, and she wears the costume.
Right.
And I think that's probably the best bet if anybody ever wants to see that costume being worn. I don't know what they're going to do, because she's too young, because in the comics, she's like early 20s maybe.
Yeah, no, they're really painting themselves into a corner.
They did.
With the timelines. Yeah.
I mean, they did. I mean, like, again,
again.
I'm not going to blame Mangold for it, because they had a specific vision they wanted to do. They really wanted to do a lone wolf and cub type thing, and you can't really do that when the girl's like 16 or 20, you know, so it really doesn't work as much. You know? So, you know, but I don't know what they're going to do as far as the X-Men go. Now we can, I guess, get, you know, diverge into this, you know, so clearly Dirty A and I liked the movie more than you did, but mm-hmm. you did still liked it. And it is a great, you know, finishing film, I would say, for Hugh Jackman. He certainly dies better in this than he did in the fucking comic books, where he saves a bunch of nobodies and then gets coated in adamantium and then just fucking freezes and dies. Yeah, that's how he dies in the comic books. It's fucking stupid. At least in this one, he's saving somebody who means something to him. So, what do they do now? What do they do with Fox? What do they do now with Wolverine? Do they give him a break, or do they immediately cast somebody else now and just kind of, I mean, because
he's an easy character to give a break because he's always going out on his own anyway. So he's an easy one to write out for a movie or two.
He is, but keep in mind that Apocalypse, and I think First Class as well, probably made the least amount of money. What's missing from those two movies? You know, so he is, people can say all they want about it. It's like, it's Wolverine and the X-Men. That's how it is in the comic books. Wolverine is the most popular X-Man. He is. They do books where he's not in it, but he is the most popular one.
I think, I feel that they're going to have to give it at least a movie, a breather, before they recast. But who knows? Maybe not. I mean, I guess it depends on how long they wait to get on the horse to make the next movie.
And that's the thing, because there's rumors that they're going to try and start shooting that movie this year.
Yeah, I personally say that they should wait a movie, but I'm not saying it's necessary. I mean, look, this is a comic book character. It's cast and recast all the time.
Oh, no, yes, for sure.
Yes, Hugh Jackman played Wolverine for 17 years and he did a great job. That doesn't mean the character's just gone. You recast characters all the time. So,
right.
You know.
So who do they get? Do they go with another unknown, possibly, if they can? Or do they try and get somebody a bit more well-known? I mean, my choice is you get Tom Hardy to do it. I think if you got him to do it, he'd be perfect. But that's me.
Yeah. How old's Tom Hardy?
30-something?
Yeah, okay. He's not 40 yet, anyway.
No.
He's a good choice. He at least has sort of the body style. I think they need to. I hope they go a little more Wolverine-ish for the next iteration.
Shorter,
yeah, shorter, stockier,
shorter stature.
I think they need to change up his character a little bit more. He needs to be different.
So you're saying Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise, yes.
Tom Hardy. It will turn 40 this year.
See,
so
that's what I'm saying. I thought he's borderline too old to start playing Wolverine. I just don't see that happening.
How old was Jackman?
Jackman is 48.
No, when he started.
When he started, he was 30.
30. Yeah. So Tom Hardy's, I think, too old. That was my original thought.
There. I would probably go with a more of an unknown.
Mel Gibson.
He should have been Old Man Logan. Yeah.
I think.
Rear sugar tits.
I think to be safe, they probably would go unknown.
To his own daughter.
And it may even be they'd go unknown because no one else would want to touch it.
Well, that's
Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Well, that's why. I mean, that's part of the reason why Hugh Jackman was so successful with it. I mean, because he was unknown. I mean, he came out of nowhere.
Right. Yeah, people forget that.
Yeah.
But he was not Hugh Jackman when he started 17 years ago as Wolverine.
Just like when they cast Harrison Ford as Han Solo. You know, right. He wasn't Harrison Ford yet.
Exactly right.
And, you know, and he became associated with that character. He is Wolverine forever. He's Wolverine forever, you know.
Yeah. Everybody gets recast. I mean, for these types of movies.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's just a question of when.
It's going to be recast.
You'll never
Captain
get
America's going to be recast.
They're not going to stop making the fucking movies. No. You know? No.
It's just a question of when and who. You know, who will they bring in?
I mean, shit. Look at Spider-Man.
Oh, Jesus.
Am I right? I mean, fuck. It's not stopping anyone from seeing the movies.
Spider-Man's had, what, 5?
Yeah. It's,
and Ben Affleck, I mean, as soon as they do, if he sticks around, because, I mean, the rumors are rampant that he's trying to get the fuck out of this franchise. If he sticks around, I think it's by... Yeah, if he sticks around for that Batman movie... because he's in Justice League. I mean, that's a done deal. That's in the can.
Yeah, he has to.
If
it's already been shot,
he's in that movie.
Definitely in that movie.
If he sticks around for
awkward. If it would be a little awkward.
If he sticks around for that Batman movie, he will be the first actor to have done four movies because Suicide Squad. He was in that.
Yeah. Okay.
But he plays a role. I mean, he plays a part in that movie. It's not like he just goes, oh, I'm on the roof and I go like this. I mean, he actually interacts with the characters and I mean, punch Harley Quinn in the face. Yes. Underwater, no less, I think.
He also endangered a child.
He did endanger a child. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, you know, you could have just waited a beat for the kid to get inside or something.
I don't wait for anything.
I don't wait for children. I'm the Bat.
And to me, I mean, I liked Ben Affleck in the Batman vs. Superman, but to me, Christian Bale will always be Batman. He was the best until somebody comes along and takes it over. Maybe Hugh Jackman. Make Hugh Jackman Bruce Wayne, since they're going for older now.
He should play Professor X.
Ew, Hugh Jackman?
Yeah. He should take over from McAvoy.
McAvoy still wants to keep doing it. He
well, they were saying that he may not. He and Magneto. Well, they're not going to be the focus anymore of the X-Men movies.
No, it's probably going to be the kids. I mean, they're probably going to focus on the actual X-Men.
Yeah, it's not going to be about Charles versus
right. Eric. Which is a good thing.
Yeah,
I mean, they're beating that.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I love
it's a great storyline. Yeah. It's a wonderful storyline. That. The problem is when you do it in comics, you allow it to breathe.
Right.
Because you have series where you focus. In the movies, they're just throwing it out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think that Magneto shouldn't have been in X-Men 3. He shouldn't have been in X-Men 3 at all. And,
shouldn't have been in Apocalypse.
He shouldn't have been in Apocalypse either. Because the movie. I mean, the movie was about him. I mean, it was more about him than it was about any other character.
It didn't work.
I just keep thinking about the ending of that movie when he is basically ripping the metal out of every city on Earth.
Yeah.
And then everything's okay.
Yeah. Hey, see you later.
Build it back.
Take it easy.
Yeah. Build it back.
Take it easy.
He and Gene just rebuild everything.
Well, it's like I said before. It's
the
like
Lego
you know,
City.
It's like I said. If you were gonna do that with Magneto and make him the head horseman, then the other three should have been a bunch of nobodies. But I still thought, based on what happened at the end of Days of Future Past, Wolverine should have been the Death Horseman, and then they should have gotten a couple three nobodies with him, and then you don't have you know. Then Apocalypse is actually your main villain in the fucking movie. With his powers, with his myriad of powers, it made no fucking sense. Here's my question about Apocalypse as I was watching it. I understand why he wanted Xavier because of his mind, so he wanted to transfer him. I'm like, but you're in essentially Wolverine's body and you're going to live forever. Why do you want to switch to him? Where he's like, you know, he can't walk and
Gimp old man.
It's like, why do you want to transfer into his body? That makes
no
sense.
Just use him like
right.
he's and everybody
right,
else.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It makes no sense. Stupid Simon Kinberg.
Why would you pick Psylocke as one of your four or Angel?
Because she's Angel. Hot.
Okay, he can fly.
Oh, yeah, they're like, that's Angel, correct. He's like a total fighter. I'm like, no, he's not. Okay. Warren Worthington was the biggest pussy ever. It's like, you know, it's like, Angel would fly. It was like that Wes Anderson.
He's got metal wings now. Oh, my God, he's like an airplane.
Oh, and a Mohawk, pretty much.
Right.
He was very wide Mohawk. He was like that Wes Anderson X-Men that they did. That you see that video? Where they did what if Wes Anderson did the X-Men? Mm-hmm. And it was very like Royal Tenenbaum type thing. It was very like droll and stuff like that. And then they go, Angel, what are we gonna do? He goes, I don't know, I don't have anything to drop on anybody. He's like the Sentinels come up, he goes, I don't think I have a rock big enough to drop on them. He's like, that's all Angel could do is flap his wings and drop shit on people. Well, I mean, Angel is good if they do the character right. I mean, he was like this rich guy who was like, you know, who has the wings, and it was like, you know, mutants were like, ooh, is shunned and all this kind of stuff. And like if they played like his internal angst and all that shit, it was good. But they always try and make him into something that he's not. Like I thought,
like a cage fighter.
Exactly. It made no fucking sense. Like yep. It made no fucking sense. And like it made like I liked what they did in X-Men 3 at first, where he was a little kid and trying to cut his wings off. I mean, that's heartbreaking. I mean, that's so sad. And then, of course, somehow he flies across the country faster than a supersonic jet. I don't know how. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it works.
Well,
I don't
know.
Well,
you saw how fast he came to the prison. He was like, whoosh, whoosh.
And he almost beats a supersonic jet.
Yeah.
Fly with me, lesbian seagull.
Lesbian seagull?
From Beavis and Butthead.
Okay. yeah, so the X-Men universe is up in the air. We don't know what's going to happen, but as far as Hugh Jackman's concerned, Logan was a good closing chapter for him. And I'm sad to see him go because Wolverine's my favorite character, comic book character, and I thought Jackman was great from the get go. As soon as X-Men 1 opened up and he was in that cage fighting, and like, I mean, he totally captured his mannerisms perfectly. He was perfect, and I was really worried about X-Men.
He was the only consistently perfect thing about the ongoing series.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I liked Famke Janssen really a lot as Jean Grey, but they did her a disservice in X-Men 3 because they wrote her
terribly. The script, yeah.
But and Halle Berry, who knows what the fuck was going on with her? I mean, it's like I said, the girl who Alexandra Shipp, who's playing her in Apocalypse and will continue to play Storm, she's way better. Better.
He just seemed to care about the role. Like,
yeah,
like he did. You know, a lot of people, if they take on a comic book role like that back then, it's different now, you know, they didn't give a shit. I can play it silly. I can do whatever I want with it. He embodied Wolverine. He made it a point to seem to make a point to, you know, understand the character and the motivations and become Wolverine as you would any other character you're playing.
Right. And he loves the fans too. Yeah. I mean, he's always talking about how he's doing it for the fans and all this kind of stuff.
Ryan Reynolds. I almost said Ray Parker Jr. Robert Downey Jr. Ray Parker Jr. You know. All right.
It's a face. Oh.
That those are the guys. Way. I mean, they epitomize their characters, and they really get into them, and it comes across on screen. They're always the best one.
You know, I mentioned to Matt, speaking of Robert Downey Jr., I was watching Iron Man today. It's on Amazon Prime, so I was just like, oh, I'll watch Iron Man. And I don't know. I mean, to me, Iron Man, I love Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier is my
fantastic
favorite.
Fantastic fucking movie.
But Iron Man, it's still the best on. One. It's still like one of the best ones.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they let Favreau do whatever he wanted.
Well, yes. And just like Hugh Jackman is just how he handles that character well. And I was talking to my girlfriend about this. Favreau gives so much respect to his source material when he does it.
Right.
But first of all, he loved Iron Man to begin with. But just anything you look at, the source material he uses.
Right.
When he did Jungle Book, it just great respect for whatever source material he's given.
Right.
He makes sure to get it right. Mm-hmm. So he was the right guy for that job, and he did a fantastic job.
And Robert Downey Jr. was perfect for the role.
Yeah. But it's gone a little overboard now.
Oh, yeah. Because now the character has become more Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
But I will say...
You box in that first movie and it's just like perfect.
I will say in Captain America 3 with Marcus and McFeely writing it, they kind of brought him back to being Tony Stark.
Right.
But they kind of let him off the leash. And Joss Whedon didn't even try to control him. He's just like, whatever.
Now, to be fair, Robert Downey Jr.'s life mirrors that of Tony Stark in so many ways. He can play himself.
Yeah, right.
My only problem I've ever had with the on-screen Tony Stark character is that they just don't show his dark side enough. Like,
that's
the man is a belligerent drunk.
Yeah, he's
and a womanizer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they
well that, but that's the thing, that's the other thing, that's what I was gonna get to is like in Iron Man, like, you know, he's got the fucking stewardesses dancing on the plane and he's sleeping with his reporter, some of that, and you'll never see that at least
but what I'm saying is that the dark side Tony Stark was very dark. He was a dark superhero.
It's called demon in a bottle, not angel in a bottle,
right? and they just for not wanting to make that R-rated superhero movie, they had to shy away from that. But that was always, to me, my detriment of Iron Man.
Yeah, well, it's more the detriment of Iron Man, too. He got drunk at a party and then said, I'm going to change my ways over donuts.
Step away from the donut.
Yeah. Nick Fury brought me donuts. Now I'm going to be better.
Yeah.
Well, they brought the panacea to him.
That's right.
Stunned.
Yep.
Oh, that's right. Because he was dying from the stuff.
Just like Wolverine. He's dying from what was keeping him or making him a superhero.
Yeah.
It's like stunned.
Oh, fixed. Just like that.
Well, he wasn't fixed. I mean, it was
He wasn't dying anymore after that.
They were like,
what, in Wolverine?
I thought you were talking about Logan.
I thought you were talking about Logan.
No, talk about, he's talking about Iron Man 2.
Right, right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and Iron Man 2 was total, you know, heal the world. But with no, Logan, it was just like, it was like a steroid. He's just like, it's not doing any good. I'm still dying.
Are you guys watching Legion?
No.
No, because we don't, I don't have FX, so. I know, I might.
I heard it's good.
I heard it's really good. I might buy the pass on iTunes.
I'm curious as to if any of these characters are supposed to be related.
I have to watch it, yeah.
Because there's one psychic guy who can, he reminds me a lot of Xavier's son.
Isn't Legion Xavier's
son? Legion is supposed to be Xavier's son.
Oh, Legion is Xavier's son. Okay. He reminds me a lot of the mastermind, this character, not the main character, David.
Right.
But the one of the guys that's after him reminds me a lot of how they tried to play him in the movies.
Not Xavier's son. You're thinking Stryker's son.
Sorry, Stryker's son.
Yeah, Stryker's son.
What the fuck? Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
And he's played the character a lot. He plays the character a lot. And actually, his character in the show has like the cataract in one eye, just like Charles.
Oh.
Just like.
Jason. Jason.
Yeah.
Jason. Yes.
Yeah. Jason. Yeah.
Is that?
That's the kid's name. Yeah.
That was Stryker Shum's
name. Yeah. Is that his name in the show?
I don't think so. He doesn't actually have a name yet or anything.
Right.
But yeah, he's got the cataract in one eye. So, right. Huh.
Yeah, he had a different color eyes.
Yeah.
And then when he made himself a little girl.
So it makes me wonder.
Yeah, maybe. But David is supposed to be Charles Xavier's son.
Oh, is that the idea of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. They certainly don't. They haven't alluded that at all in the show.
I'm not saying you got to put James McAvoy in it because I know they're not going to connect it at all. But if you made a mention of it that he was Charles Xavier's son, that would be pretty cool.
It's a fun show though. Like it though, it's done really well. You got to really pay attention to it.
Yeah, I need to watch it. I need to watch it. But yeah, Logan, go see it.
We forgot to mention that they do have a special.
Oh, yeah. There's no stinger at the end. Right. There's a stinger in the beginning of the film. It's basically a teaser trailer for Deadpool 2, when nobody knows when that's coming out. So
funny,
it's like, it's kind of premature, but it is hilarious. It's really
perfect,
funny.
Perfect little 3-minute.
Trailer.
You're not gonna walk that off.
No, you're not gonna walk that off. He just like lays up against him, and they start playing.
In hindsight, I probably should have called 911.
Yeah,
Logan could have saved you.
So good.
He's at
a box office.
Yeah.
The marquee says now playing Logan,
and then there's graffiti that says Nathan Summers is coming, and Nathan Summers is Cable. It was funny. It was very clever, and you can find it online now because Ryan Reynolds released it online.
It's on YouTube. Yeah.
He's in that phone booth.
Yeah. Why is there a fucking phone booth on the corner?
Why is there a phone booth on the corner?
Did they disappear in 98? Anyway. It was really, really funny. And so Ryan Reynolds wasn't lying when he said he was going to be in Logan.
That's right.
that they said that he had a cameo in Logan. He technically does.
Because it doesn't open. It's not like a regular trailer.
It's just
a little scene.
Yeah, it's basically a stinger at the beginning.
When it shows his face, I'm like, this is not the tone I expected Logan to take it all.
Yeah, because there is no stinger at the end because the movie doesn't need one. I mean, you know, it pretty much says everything it needs to say at the end of it. And definitely go check out Logan. I loved it. I thought it was great. It's a great send off for Hugh Jackman. And the Wolverine character and X-23 is fantastic, and it's just
she'll come at you like a spider monkey, Chip.
Yeah, she fucking will, and it's
fucking
just
spider monkey.
It's sad, it's exciting, it's got everything really. The only thing it doesn't have is romance.
Wolverine cries.
He was a blubbering idiot in X-Men 3.
Yeah, that's right.
Cheeky.
But Jean,
I love you,
Jean. And even though in the Wolverine he's having these like visions of her, I don't think he even cries in that about her. In that, he's just jerking off to Jean Grey. watch those claws, Logan. definitely check it out. Don't take the kids and be prepared. It is very violent. It's very graphic violence, but it's great. Our next episode will be a little delayed. Dirty A is taking a little vacation.
Damn right.
So we'll see what's going to happen. Kong is coming out, so we'll probably see that. And we'll probably do a review of Beauty and the Beast. No, we won't.
No.
We'd like to thank Matt for stopping by again.
I would like to thank me, too.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, good to be back.
And
I guess I'll see you when Guardians comes out.
Or maybe Kong. Who knows? We'll see. Kong. Maybe Kong. We'll see. We'll...
I have plans to see Kong.
Super excited for Guardians. So.
I am too.
Guardians looks great. Guardians really looks great. And
that new trailer will be the last one I watch.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. They, you know, and it's kind of like what we were talking about with Iron Man. You know, the reason why Guardians works, the first one, is, you know, to me the plot could have been a little bit better in that movie, but the characters are great. And it's really because, and that's why I think the second one, that's what I'm getting. I think the second one's gonna be a lot better because James Gunn has said there's no like tie-in I need to make in this movie to the general universe. It's basically just the Guardians of the Galaxy, and that, I think that's what's gonna make it great.
Makes that movie work. It's because they
don't, yeah. And that's what works for Logan. It doesn't have to tie itself to any other X-Men movie.
That being said, I cannot wait until Infinity War for when the Guardians have to mingle with the Avengers. And...
Yeah.
Because they've already shown the concept art.
Contrast, yeah.
Yeah, and they showed the concept art of Thor fighting with Rocket. You know, it's like,
oh, nice.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be really cool.
But and also in that concept art, this is probably a spoiler for Thor Ragnarok. He doesn't have Mjolnir anymore. He's got Thundercracker or whatever it is.
Thundercracker.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. The one with the axe is.
I don't know anything about this dumb character of Thor that you speak of.
It's your favorite character. What are you talking about?
Does he have other weapons of choice other than a hammer?
You are counting down the days.
Fucking John Henry with his hammer.
Wow. That's Steel.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's Shaq. That's Shaquille O'Neal. That's Steel.
Don't tell me you didn't like the Team Thor.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the second Team Thor
one? I haven't seen the second one yet. I think we've got little baby Mjolnir in its little bed with a little blanket over it.
Daryl's trying to get him to pay rent, and he pays in like an Asgardian pumpkin. He's like, you take this, you set up a shop on a corner, you say, Asgardian wares, as used by Thor, you will be rich. We should get a servant.
The first one, he's got the fucking, got Mjolnir holding a little Thor.
Who is the purple man in the chair?
Vision. Oh, that's very.
I didn't
think you'd get that. Yeah. How about him? Is he working?
What's he doing? He's working.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait. I hope Thor Ragnarok opens with Daryl. Like, that's where Thor is.
I mean, I hope it's a good movie. I give it shit, but I want it to be a good movie. I just have yet to like one of the standalone Thor movies.
I'm gonna go wreck it. It cannot be as bad as The Dark World.
That would be very hard to do. I agree.
Yeah.
It'd be very
you
hard
have to
do.
Work really
you
hard.
You really would have to, fucking Waititi would have to really be on his A game of shit.
Yeah.
To make it that bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want Thor to be a good movie. I just haven't seen one yet that's good.
They just haven't gotten him right yet. And I honestly, I don't think Waititi is really going to get Thor right. I just want it to be a good...
Yeah, I have a feeling. Yeah, he doesn't care so much about the source material as he does just making a fun movie, sure.
But it is. I do want to see like how they fit the whole Planet Hulk
storyline.
I want to know how Hulk gets there. Quinjet can't go into space.
I'm thinking it's going to be Gold... what's his face? He's one of the elders, played by Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum and the Game Master or something like that. Uh-huh. I think he's going to be the one that ultimately like plucks them. And
oh, I see.
It's like,
oh, okay.
Because he's doing it just for the fucking fun
teleport
of it,
them.
You know? It's like, yeah. Oh, I'll put that guy against this guy.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Beyonder, I guess.
Yeah. Well, he's in that same clique or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to
it. Is Jeff Goldblum going to have a Jerry curl? God, I hope so.
I'm looking forward to him in that role, though. Jeff Goldblum is just, he's so fun.
Yeah, and I want to see Kate Blanchett is Hela. Hela.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the only issue I might have with the Guardians. I don't know how the villains are gonna go.
Aisha. I've seen it mentioned a couple times. She seems like she's just continuing Ronan's work.
Yeah,
and actually, I think Gunn actually said that.
Yeah,
that she's like basically taking what Ronan did and just enacting it. Basically.
But the thing is, I mean, but the all the stuff I've seen with the Guardians themselves is actually, it's so great. And Baby Groot is ridiculously cute. You see? the best is when they're doing the roll call in the last trailer. And then Baby Groot is standing there and he's waving. And then they cut to Gamora who's fighting. She's like, yeah, like a mother to a child. Yeah, hi. She's like, I'm kind of busy here. Yeah, hi. Yeah. He's like, hi. He's like a little kid. It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I can't wait for that movie.
And it looks like he's eating M&Ms. He's yeah, like, because like they're in the ship and Star-Lord's like, put on your seatbelts, Baby Groot. And he's like eating like M&Ms
like
or something.
A pot full of M&Ms. Yeah, his old pot.
Yeah.
Full of M&Ms. Yeah.
It's cute. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to Guardians. I mean, when I saw that last trailer, I even posted on Facebook. I was like, as Star Wars might have its work cut out for it because this movie looks like it's gonna be fantastic.
Yeah, I hope it's good.
Yeah, so that'll do it for this episode. Once again, I'd like to thank Matt for stopping by, and go see Logan. We'll see you next time, folks.
Yeah.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup.